Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fav for Casinos USA. And welcome to our February 27th, 2020 podcast. And we're asking a question, giving up casinos for Lent? Will Janie be back later in the podcast to talk about that question? Our focus today includes our recent trip to Southern Indiana's three riverboat casinos and the sports books that are new to all of them. This sports betting craze is just sweeping the country. And I hope your state has legalized sports betting. I believe 41 states have legalized casino gambling, and almost half of those have legalized sports betting. And we will be talking about the Coach Fav meetup at the Belterra and a recent change in the law in Indiana, the state of Indiana, regarding casino riverboats has made a positive change in all the three casino riverboats that we visited, in that they can now put some of their gambling apparatus, the tables and the slot machines and the sports books, on land. What a mega change. And the Belterra especially has made a commitment.
So important. Just so important.
If you come here, we'll have a table open. You know how sometimes in the morning there just aren't enough people for them to open a table? Well, the Belterra has installed a crapless craps table. I'll call it a tub. That's is only for six players, and it's run by two dealers. And we'll give you an explanation of how that works. I had to change my throw, but the five others who came to join me playing craps, man, well, they rolled make 'em all three times in 2 days. That's 175-1, plus the 35-1 on make 'em, make all the small, make all the tall. Man, what an experience. It was a lot of fun. And we were messaged by Mike, who was at the Belterra just a few days before we got there. He won $5,800 playing craps on this tub. Man, that's pretty exciting. Okay, we'll be right back after a little lead guitar. Well, our digital kids are digging that back alley guitar, that lead guitar. Maybe more of that later. Okay, so where should we start? Well, let's begin with something I recorded soon after I arrived at the Belterra. And as you'll hear, I was totally shocked by the change. What used to be a long hallway that led to the entrance of the riverboat, and of course, you're all covered, and the hallway is really relatively beautiful. It's decorated, looks like marble. But it's a long walk. Well, all of a sudden, there's an entrance that you go through, security. Hey, this is a casino, and it's on land. The casino starts on land. And you'll hear from my opening comments how shocked I am. And also, we had a long drive. We didn't arrive till later. And so we decided to eat at the sports bar. And, you know, I was referred to it as a pub. And we had, you know, pub fish and chips, and Janie loved it, and I loved it. But boy, I asked Janie about the Boyd Gaming Company, which now runs the Belterra, and she says, you know, you ought to make the food at Michigan City, Indiana, that's up in northern Indiana, called the Blue Chip Casino, as good at their deli as it is in this one. Yeah, she'll never let that go. All right, here's my opening comments after arriving at the Belterra with my wife, Janie.
We got here about 5 o'clock at the Belterra in southern Indiana. That's Florence, Indiana. Right across the river, the Ohio River, is Kentucky. And just a few miles down the road in Kentucky is Kentucky Speedway. And, you know, the Boyds have made major, major changes to the placement of where the casino is. I don't know if the law has changed in Indiana, but the casino actually starts on land. Can you imagine that? Wow. So what happened, right across from the stadium bar, as you walk down that large area, there's the entrance to the casino, and there's a sports book there. It's FanDuel. You want to tell them the $25 bet we made?
Talk my mouth full. Yeah, we bet on Nevada men's basketball versus New Mexico.
Yeah, that game comes on at 9 o'clock, so we'll give it a look. But what was interesting to me, they have two craps tables in what used to be just a long, long hallway, huge hallway, to the casino. Now it is the casino. And they have a six-man craps table that's run by two people. And until there's enough people to play craps inside the riverboat, you know, on the regulation tables, they just man this six-man table. And I had the good fortune of going there with somebody who made them all. Not me now, to be clear. He made them all. And I didn't bet it, but he did. But I still, because he rolled so many numbers, it was very nice. And then I went to the video poker bar that I enjoy and had some success there. So now we're having pub fish and chips, and I was just amazed by how good the chips were. What'd you think about the food here? How good was it?
Very good. Probably some of the best we've ever had, and I get it a lot everywhere I go.
And what would you tell the Boyd family about the comparison here?
I would say they ought to work on the blue chip last we were there. And any when they went to their new deli format, I don't know how many years ago that was, when they got rid of their own little deli and got that other one, when they remodeled and added the new hotel, you know, the big tower, it's, I can't stand their deli.
And you've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, many, many years.
Well, you remember Atlantic City Nick? How much he loves the food there? I know, it's hard to explain. There must have been a law change, though, because, seriously, everyone, the casino begins on land. And previously, you had to be on the water to gamble in Indiana. So that has obviously changed. Okay, we'll come back and talk a little bit later.
Well, we would recommend the fish, and I don't know why I was referring to how good the chips were. I was talking about the fish. It was excellent at the sports bar that we refer to as the pub. And it's right before the new entrance of legal play on land. That's pretty cool. Right beside the buffet where the buffet entrance is. I'll tell you, it's a shocker. And the same kind of feelings happened to us again on our visit to the Rising Star Casino Riverboat in Rising Sun, Indiana, and also the Hollywood Casino Riverboat in Lawrenceburg. It's the same thing. The casinos start on land. And we had a very long chat with a casino executive. I was traveling in my UNLV sweatshirt. And, you know, by the way, my granddaughter goes to UNR, so she doesn't want me to wear that. But, hey, I was in the state of Indiana. UNR, of course, is University of Nevada, Reno, which is a rival for, you know, the state sister University of Nevada, Las Vegas. But anyway, gentleman said, hey, that's where I went to school. And he had a suit on. He looked great. He came over and said, hey, I'm a casino executive here. And so we started talking to him. Said, we have a podcast, Casinos USA. And he was asking us about that. And he told us, you know, it's going to be a big decision for a lot of the gaming companies now, like whether to keep maintaining the boats. And it's very expensive. And ask somebody who's owned a couple houseboats. It's very expensive to keep boats, you know, in tip-top shape. And, of course, they're inspected and so on, you know, in rivers that freeze. And with winter temperatures and this boat being pounded, you know, it's the upkeep is remarkably high. And so it might be, and I think he suggested to us, you know, through his comments, that within a couple of years, the Belterra in particular, because it has such a nice land mass around it, two golf courses, can easily expand a casino on land and just make the riverboat a thing of the past. Now, we're not suggesting that every riverboat casino in Indiana will go that route, but we are suggesting that probably many will, maybe half, will go that way. It's just less expensive, and they can create newer casinos, you know, update everything with new construction, and recoup that money pretty quickly. So let's see what happens. Now let's come back with some craps talk.
3, 2, 1.
All right, so I saw a table. It was quite different than just a half table. I'm going to call it a tub. You played three players on one end, three players on the other, and there were just two dealers. There was a stick man who also paid bets, paid the prop bets, and paid the hard ways bets. And then you had someone behind the numbers in the middle of the table as well who paid the line bet, the pass line bets and crapless craps, and the place bets. And so two dealers, six players max. I had to change my throw. And I had worked so hard for the 12 and 14 foot tables. I had to change my throw. You have to kind of throw it up and bounce it right in front of that back wall that you're throwing to. I got the hang of it. And the first day, of course, you know, I didn't bet the make them all. And this gentleman made them all. And then when I had five people show up that were part of the, you know, meet up with Coach Fab, that's yours truly. We had a table all to ourselves, and they made the make them all, and then they made them the next day too. So I bet those after that first experience of not betting them. It just seems to me, you know, it's a little easier to make them on those shorter tables. I shouldn't say that out loud because I don't want the Belterra to change your ways. And then I mentioned, you know, we got a message from Mike. I won't use his last name, but he's a regular listener to our podcast, and he often contributes on our Facebook group. And he won $5,800 at the Belterra playing craps, and it was a part of a 45-minute roll. Boy, I'd have loved to have been there for that one. Huh? Doesn't that excite you? You know, that's the game of craps. Wow. And I want to talk about a man who, playing on the bigger table later in the evening, I saw him lose $5,000. And it was a $10 table, but was also crapless craps. They only have one table on the riverboat, and it's the only one in the casino, considering the land part or the riverboat, that has a don't pass line. You know, like, I don't know, it's starting to be a thing of the past in the Midwest. But so this was a crapless table, crapless craps table, which means that the 2, the 3, the 12, and the 11 are point numbers. So if you're on a pass line in the 2, 3, 12 roll, you don't lose. The puck goes to those numbers. If an 11 rolls, you don't win. The puck goes from the pass line. The puck goes to the number 11. You can still play three-way craps and be paid for it, but then you get a second chance to win again because it goes to those numbers. So that makes 10 numbers. You know, the six regular numbers and the 2, 3, 12, and 11. Now there's 10 numbers. Well, what this gentleman was doing, and maybe I can see it doing it once, and he was putting $50 on every number immediately following the come-out roll. So the point number didn't matter. He put him. He said, place every number for $50. All right? And that's $500. Well, I would say in the course of 90 minutes, he lost $5,000. And he had $3,000 to start the game, and he took $2,000 out. And I felt bad for him. And I sort of held my own because, you know, I was playing 44 inside. It was a $10 table. And I was coming down after one hit. And the table was so damn cold. I mean, you could have burned your fingers, frigid, you know, frozen your fingers off. It was so cold. But I did okay because, you know, it wasn't always the first or second throw, you know. But very few shooters went more than four rolls. But I'd get a hit, you know. And so I'd say, take my inside numbers off. And then I would wait till the next shooter. And I didn't want to play that way for long, but I ended up playing that way for 90 minutes. And I think I was just a little bit up, a couple bucks up. But this gentleman lost $5,000. And there's that thing about playing craps one way. If the dice aren't going that way, the way that you're playing, then you got to change or stop playing. Jimmy the Greek used to say, walk away. If it's not going the way you want to play, walk away or go to another table. Well, that was the only big table that was open, so that choice was out. But to continue over 90 minutes, every time there was a 7-out, then immediately coming back with another $500 and placing $50 on every number. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And obviously, he got it. He got a bill. He got knocked out for $5,000. It's not going to happen to me, friend. I'm not going to keep playing that way. No, sir. Never. And this sort of begs another question. You know, we've talked about smart craps, and smart craps, in the short version of it, you know, it's simply this. You're on the pass line, and when the point is established, and we're talking about the regular 6 points, you play maximum odds or as much odds as you can afford, and then you go into the come two more times, and if you go to a point number, you put those point numbers from the come at maximum odds. Now, if you were doing that on that crapless craps table, some of those numbers would have been a 2, a 3, a 12, and 11, which have been even more difficult to hit and win. So I don't think smart craps is the answer on crapless craps either. In fact, it's worse, you know. So you have to be creative. When the table gets hot, it doesn't matter really, literally, what the hell you do, you know. Just make sure you got numbers covered somehow, either from being established points or placing them or whether you used a come or not. That's all up to you. On a hot table, you know, you got to get your money out there. But when the table is relatively cold, and that seems to be the prevailing trend, then you got to take them off. You got to come down sometimes, just totally, or just take them off if you don't want to take it off the board. Just say, I'm off. And the way I look at it is, and this is what I was doing because the table was just 2-3 rolls, 7 out, 2-3 rolls, 7 out. I you know, and I was doing the inside numbers in the classic sense, you know, the 5, the 6, the 8, and the 9. The 5 and the 9 had $10 on it, and on $10 minimum, and obviously the 6 and 8 had 12 each, so it's $44. It's not like you're not risking something, you are. So on any hit, I'd win $14. And I'd look at that player and I'd say, I won $14 from you, you know, then the next player is another $14, and the next player is another $14. Now, you know, if someone hits you with a 7 before you get that first hit, then you're out $44. But even so, it didn't happen very often, and over the course of 90 minutes, I still was a few bucks ahead. And then the table changed. The table changed, and, it was a pass line bonanza. So, but my friend, not my friend, I just call him a friend, he was not one of the listeners that we were referring to. He went through $5,000, he burned through it, and he was gone. You know, either he went to some place to, you know, try to recover or get his bearings, or he went home. You know, he wasn't there to enjoy. And that's something I think sort of begs the question about dice setting. And what I mean by that, you know, I've never seen anyone talk about this. There's more ways to make a 7 than any other number. So why not practice making 7s? Like, why not come up with dice designs, you know, sets and releases that generate 7s and get good at that, you know? And so you could just go to the don'ts and once the point's established, not on the come out, of course, but once the point's established, if you're throwing, you know, put your hot 7 dice set up there, man, because you want to throw a 7. You know? Why not do that? Nobody talks about that. With, again, is, I don't want to throw another log on the fire, but I guess I am, which, again, just makes you think that dice influence is a superstition or a belief that really doesn't have a lot of support. I still set them, and I know there are people who don't, and they have nice rolls, too, you know. I still set them, but that's just me, and that's how I look at it. So that's my craps talk today. I don't think... Take this lesson to heart. If the system you're using, I'm not criticizing the system, but if the dice aren't rolling the way that system needs for them to roll to be successful, then you either have to stop playing, change tables, or go to a different system. You know, and again, one hit and down was a system I went to, and it paid off. And it kept me at the table, so when the table did warm up, I was there, and I could increase my bets and not play, you know, one and done, okay? So that's the crap talk lesson for today. And now we're going to come back and talk about some of the experiences that we have on trips. I'm going to encourage all of you not to spend 12, 14 hours in a casino when you visit a casino resort. First of all, let's utilize the things that the resort offers. And the Belterra has a beautiful spa, and it's free. So... it has, I'm going to call it co-ed for lack of a better word, you know, male-female workout room, well-equipped, you know, air-conditioned. And then it has a men's locker room and a woman's locker room. And both locker rooms, and I don't know about the women's, but I was told, I didn't go in it, but has a beautiful, large hot tub, you know, and it's beautiful. And it has a separate steam room and a separate sauna. So it has the three things. It has a beautiful set of showers, lockers that you can lock. It's just gorgeous. And of course, I went to the hot tub and talking to somebody, and he went to the steam room, and I didn't see him again. But, you know, take advantage of what it can offer, you know, in the casino resort. And then Janie and I had a chance to do some window shopping and some shopping in the stores that are at the Belterra, you know, and not just the bars and such, et cetera. You know, we had some bagels the next morning at the Nosh there. And the night before, the casino executive told me to tell them it was my birthday, and they gave me their version of a birthday cake. You know, it was nice, in a box, which we enjoyed in the room later. And by the way, that bet that we placed at the new sports book on Nevada, they were playing New Mexico at New Mexico. Nevada won, and it was a close game in the first half, but then Nevada pulled away, won by 15 or 16 points. And, you know, that's always nice. It wasn't a big bet, $25, but this made the game more enjoyable to watch, knowing that, hey, we're going to get $25 out of this, you know. So it was good. Janie and I both share in our enjoyment of having conversations, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the conversations we had with Mr. Joe Barrett, again, the vice president of casino operations at the Belterra. And we'll talk about some of the other people we met in the towns and in the sports books at Rising Star and the Hollywood Lawrenceburg. Some incredible news to share with you. We'll be right back with Janie. You know, I can make the case that traveling in southern Indiana is a little bit like living inside a John Cougar Mellencamp song. I was born in a small town. We talk about Vivi, Indiana. That's probably about 2,000 people. Belterra is in Florence, Indiana. And that's under 50, little village. There's Patriot, Indiana.
A little over 200. That's 200 people, not 200,000 people.
Rising Sun, Indiana, 2,000 people. And Aurora, Indiana, between 2,000 and 3,000 people. And Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Hey, it's the big town, over 5,000 people.
So, hey, Janie, what's the appeal of these southern Indiana river towns?
Well, I first wanted to say to you that, you know, John Cougar grew up in Indiana. So that's a very, I mean, I think he was thinking of all those small Indiana towns when he wrote that song. I think the first thing for me is the pace. It's a little slower. You know, you don't, big cities have a great energy all unto themselves, but the small towns, you actually have a chance to, what they say, drink the coffee and smell the roses. In fact, two of those communities are golf cart communities where people ride around town in those because it's flat and you can see in front of you, and they have the wide parking lanes, the parking on a diagonal, which you love in their downtown areas.
That's like the Back to the Future hometown, wherever that
was. Right. That's it. Yeah. Some of them are lacking. I think Lawrenceburg's the only one with the clock tower. But the rest of them are, well, no, Rising Sun has a tower now. They're a Veterans Memorial down by the river. But I like the pace. You get to know everybody. I mean, we know people on their first names, and they know us, even though we don't live there. We visit several times a year, but we've been invited to their homes for dinner. They run the tourist bureau. We're always interested in the new businesses. If you like antiquing, these are great places to go because they have some really great great shops. We just went to one that bought out an estate that's been there for how long? Pre-Civil War.
Pre-Civil War, yeah.
Yeah, and I also love looking at the homes. There's a lot of pre-Civil War and Civil War homes there, and they've been kept up well. People take pride in those towns. So there's a great appeal, I think, for me in those towns.
I know that when we went by the little village of Patriot, Indiana, they have signs up already about their 4th of July parade.
Right. Patriot and Florence are a little too small for me. I like a little more activity. You're talking, we live in a town right now of about 2,100 people. So I feel comfortable in those situations.
If someone's listening to the podcast, though, from a larger city, you know, they might enjoy that contrast, you know, to experience that Hoosier hospitality, that slow pace, the friendliness of everyone.
Oh, I think, I don't know how you could not enjoy it. And there's a sprinkling, obviously. Cincinnati's right across the river from Lawrenceburg. It's just a bridge away.
Yeah.
And so you have that there. And then, of course, you have the Kentucky border.
The Ohio River.
Well,
you
right.
You cross it and you're in Kentucky.
You're in Kentucky or, yeah.
I wanted to talk about the changes that this new law, the land-based legalizing the casinos. And our daughter graduated from college in 1992 in the Midwest, and the casinos came in the year after that in 1993.
Correct.
So that means those boats, what's the issue there with the boats now the land-based?
Well, they're older. They're almost 30 years old. Boats, as you know, when they're in they shouldn't be kept in water all year round, no matter where it is. If you're in Daytona Beach or if you're in San Francisco, the boats need to be taken out, need to be taken care of. That water, that current pounding against them, is a lot of wear and tear. So they're getting up there, and it's expensive to keep them in good shape.
And so, as the casino vice president of operations, Joe Barrett, told us, the decision has to be made. Now that land-based casinos are legal in Indiana, what's the big decision?
Well, it's whether to keep the boats or not. And Belterra pretty much said that, you know, within 2 years, their boat will be gone. But they have a lot of room there on land to expand, and they've already started with moving their slot machines into the sportsbook area on the land-based part, and so did Rising Star. But Rising Star confirmed that they're going to keep their boat. And on one hand, I think that could be good because they'll end up being a novelty attraction, having an actual riverboat as a casino.
Well, all three of the sports books, the new sports books, because that law just came into effect as well,
right,
are on land in the casinos. Can you give me a highlight of which one you thought was the best sports book? We have Hollywood Lawrenceburg, the Rising Star and Rising Sun, and of course we have the Belterra in Florence. Of those three, if somebody was just going to stop in one sports book, what would you tell them to do?
I would go to Hollywood Lawrenceburg because it has the restaurant there. It's in a restaurant. It has all the food that you want there. In fact, casino employees were telling us that they had the best food in the whole casino. So we stopped in for lunch. It's very comfortable in there. They have a huge wall of windows. It has very high ceilings. Everybody in there was very friendly. It has a beautiful bar. It has 99-plus beers. It's very comfortable. On the other hand, I like Belterra's, too, because it didn't have food and a restaurant there. I guess you'd have to make the distinction of what you want. I think in Hollywood, you're going to feel compelled to eat the whole time or, you know, maybe not feel as comfortable if you're not eating. Although people were coming in and out at a fast rate, they're placing bets and then just leaving. But Belterra's is nice that it has the seating and you feel like you're more in a sports bar. Or a sports book, rather, not a sports bar. I would say Hollywood's is a sports bar book.
Yeah, that's a good term.
And Belterra's is a sports book. And they're going to add even more slot machines there. And they're building it out.
And that I remember the gentleman told us, Mr. Barrett told us, that they're making a commitment to non-smokers there.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it is non-smoking in at least the one part of it for sure. And he said he feels they may make the whole sports book that.
Well, we've made it known that we have a grandson who is a dealer. I'm not going to name the casino in Las Vegas. But Mr. Barrett told us that this is, for any listener that's considering going into the casino industry as a career, that there probably has never been a better time to go into casinos. Can you explain what he told us?
Well, that industry is growing, obviously. It's spreading out. You know, more states have legalized gambling, and now more states have legalized sports betting, which is the biggest change, I think, other than the actual casinos
It's hard to argue with that. I think you're absolutely right.
Right. That's the newest thing, and that has caught on like wildfire. Anybody will tell you that. The casinos that are doing that are doing very, very well. And what I found interesting with the sports books is that they use companies like FanDuel that are already set up. That surprised me. I would have thought they would have all just been their own. What do you want to call that?
Well, independent.
They'd just be independent.
Yeah.
But Rising Sun already latched on to one.
Bet
two,
America.
Yeah, that have already been in the business of sports betting. And so I guess it was maybe just easier and smoother transition for them to use these companies that are already out there.
When we picked the name of our webpage, casinosusa.bet, part of that was we were hoping someday somebody would buy our website.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, at this point, it's tripled in value, but it's not worth the thousands of dollars that we thought. Maybe we should have named it something else, huh?
No, I think it's doing fine on its own.
Yeah, if anybody wants to check it out, it's www.casinosusa.bet, B-E-T.
I also want to mention, though, that Rising Sun Sportsbook is nice, too. It's very convenient. As soon as you go in the front doors, it's right there. And it's set off from everything else, all the other facilities that they have there. But that's a work in progress, too. The employees had told us that they're working on rearranging the machines in there. The one thing I don't like about Rising Star, they don't have a dedicated desk for the bets.
That's right. They have
they
don't have people.
Right.
In their sports
book,
they have just kiosk, and I think that's a little bit shallow, you know.
Well, especially since this is so new. This phenomenon of doing this is so new. I think a lot of people wouldn't place a bet unless they talk to somebody. They don't want to do it all by kiosk. And then to be paid there, you also have to go into the cage, into the cashier in the casino. So
yeah, that's a little awkward, too, because I know the Belterra, we cashed in we won the Nevada bet. I mentioned that already in the podcast, and we cashed it in right at the sports book.
Right, and that's nice. And if you want to place a bet or if you have a question, they're there to answer them. What I liked also about Hollywood, the employees there at the desk wear ref shirts, so they're striped. So you know for sure who they are.
Yeah, they get into it a little bit more.
Yeah, they did. I liked that. But I was happy that all three of them have sports books. I mean, one of our intentions of going there this trip, was to visit all three of them, bet at all three of them, and just see how the experience was. But I don't think you could go wrong at any one of them.
No, and I just want to reinforce what you said. How many people told us, if you're going to eat at Hollywood?
Oh, I don't want to even get people in trouble or anything, but a lot of employees that had nothing to do with the sports book or anything else that said, boy, the food in there is good. And it was excellent, and they have a good menu there also.
Janie, I can't count the times we've done this, gone to Southern Indiana and visited all three riverboat casinos. And we think sometimes we go by how many casinos before we get there?
We go by at least five. We go by Rivers, Meadows, Scioto Downs.
Wheeling,
and then the Belterra that's in Cincinnati. I forget what they call that, like the Belterra Club or something.
Yeah, Park, something like
that.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Well, we always think that we may not come back to drive 6.5 hours from Pittsburgh. But there's a certain charm.
Well, we always figure they're going to stop comping us, but they don't, you know. And as long as people comp me, I go. But I love going there. And again, we did our routes of the small towns. We went to the stores that we like. And believe me, I have found some boutiques there and neat shops that you can get stuff there you can't get anywhere else. Or
well,
I've never seen anywhere else.
I got a brand new, you know, ball cap for a buck.
Well, that's, yeah. That's,
where are you going to get that?
We were there on half price Wednesday.
Yeah, it was $2. Never worn before. Okay.
Before we close out today, we might want to go into why our title is what it is, Giving Up Casinos for Lent. When we were at church, we ran into one of our friends who said, hey, this is the third year in a row that I'm giving up casinos for Lent, which I started to laugh out loud. And she said, now, however, I will be there partying on Shrove Tuesday night, the night before Ash Wednesday, till midnight. And then again, I will go back on Easter Sunday. And which isn't so bad. We've spent a lot of Easter weekends. We've spent several in Las Vegas. We've spent them in different casinos that we've liked. And I have to say, their Easter buffets are usually a great deal, and they have foods that they don't usually have for the rest of the year. So anyway, she's giving it up. I don't know that that's something I want to give up. I haven't picked anything yet.
I think it's a good bet. Maybe the best bet to make is that Coach Fav and Janie will not be giving up casinos for Lent. Okay, so let us close today with something that most people know. We say every podcast, Casinos USA is a special place where
every day is Saturday.
Thanks for listening. See you in a couple of weeks.